I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Okay, we can start now. I was talking to a friend on Snapchat, real important stuff.
Yeah. High level, big secret type of stuff.
Yeah. no, not at all. Actually, it's pretty funny. My friend just, I am on TikTok, by the way, but you don't need to go look me up. I'm not that great on there. But my friend just sent me a message saying that she watched my latest TikTok, and then her son was in the room. He's like 10. And then he was like, "Who's that?" She goes, "It's my friend Brad." And he looked at me, like my picture was like, "Who would name their kid Brad? Why would you carry somebody in your belly for 9 months and just name them Brad?" And I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a masculine, strong name, but
yeah,
this kid does not agree.
Brad's better than Dylan. Dylan has no masculinity much to it. It's just Dylan.
Well, no comment. No. Okay, hey, welcome into the show. Brad and Dylan here with you. We're both very masculine men, yes.
Yes.
Very much. Here on the Prep Rally, and we're going to talk high school sports, of course, for the next several minutes. Thanks for joining us. We come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. We got a lot going on. We got football, of course, still happening. We've got volleyball entering the playoffs. And not really going to talk about it, but we've got basketball practice. It has started this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming soon. I'm starting to gather up basketball schedules and working on our preseason package that we'll have in a few weeks. So all kinds of stuff happening. Let's start by looking back at some of last week's big football games, the football rewind. We'll start with Starkville-Tupelo, which I thought was going to be a pretty good game, and it was a pretty good game. Starkville ended up with the win. 28-21 on the road. And this is a Starkville team I had not gotten to see yet, Dylan. And I'd heard a lot of good things, and I'd seen the numbers from Trey Petty, the quarterback. You know, he comes in this year as a first-year starter. Luke Altmaier was the quarterback before him and had a great career, and now he's at Ole Miss. They're like, oh, those are big shoes to fill. But Let me tell you, Trey Petty is doing a pretty good job of filling those shoes at this point. And he had a good game. Against Tupelo, he rushed for 118 yards, and then he passed. His passing numbers were 10 of 19 for 129 yards, and he was just clutch too. I mean, he converted 5 third downs on the two scoring drives in the second half, and as a team, Starkville did well in that category, 9 of 15 on third downs. That's saying something against that Tupelo defense. So. Trey Petty seems to be the real deal, and he's got some good guys around him. Braylon Burnside caught one of his touchdown passes. Really good athletic receiver. You've got Tyler Nichols, the running back. He had a good game as well. He rushed for 97 yards and had the game-winning touchdown run in the fourth quarter with about 9 minutes left. So Tupelo played better than the week before, certainly, when they lost to Oxford, but still not quite good enough. And in this division now, it's going to be like this just about every week. I mean, most of these games are going to be toss-ups. And Tupelo's got to start winning these toss-up games. And we'll talk about the one they have coming up this Friday. But, you know, the offense played okay, not great. They got off to a good start. Second half didn't do much. So they've got some things to fix, certainly. Another game, the one you were at, Morville and Corinth, and Morville's offense, once again, putting up some huge numbers and defeating Corinth 42-20, I believe was the final. Yeah,
42-21.
Excuse me. Yeah,
doubled them up there. That was, I mean, we've made a lot about that Morville offense this year, just the air raid, you know, system that they've had implemented there. They've got the perfect quarterback that's been running it for, you know, 3.5 years now in Dawson Phillips, and he just was brilliant again. I mean, was it just, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was 9 yards short of the state's single-game passing record with 637 yards or something like that. Now this week, you know, comes back against a Corinth team who you always expect. You know, it's Corinth. You know, year in, year out, they're going to be pretty good. And, you know, throws it 449 yards. He was 31 of 45 for 449 yards, 5 touchdowns. And a lot of that was this connection of this new wide receiver that's just emerged on the scene, and it's Jacob Scott.
Yeah.
If you're a baseball fan in the area, you know him as the Trooper shortstop, and he's a darn good one out there on the diamond. But he's venturing out to football for the first time this year, and he's just been absolutely excellent. And those two worked over the offseason, you can kind of tell. But in this first half, though, against Corinth, they had a 71-yard touchdown connection, but the turnovers both from both teams, for Corinth and for Morville, kind of held both of them back. I think Corinth scored late there in the with like 30 seconds left to go before halftime, and it made it 13-7 Morville at the half. Come out in the second half, and it was all Phillips and Scott. Like, Corinth could do nothing to stop it. And just a bunch of touchdowns just there. Ended up Phillips and Scott connected four times. Four of the five touchdowns were between that duo. And then Jordan Franks had an excellent game too for Morville. He had a 21-yard touchdown catch in the first quarter, and then turned around in the fourth quarter when they really needed it, and Morville actually started running the ball and burning clock, and he ended up with a 14-yard touchdown run there late in the fourth quarter to kind of seal that one. So all around offensive performance, they were able to run the ball, able to throw the ball the way they wanted to, cleaned up the turnovers. I don't believe they had any turnovers in the second half, but that Morville defense, that's their best defensive performance they've had all year long against Corinth. 21 points, which is a season low, which is weird to say that you had your season low, held a team to the season low against Corinth, but they did, and forced four turnovers in that game too. So they just had just an all-around effort to get their first division win of the year. And for Corinth, it's, you just got to go back to the drawing board there, because it's a rough loss. You never lost to Morville in your program's history, and you lose it by three touchdowns last Friday. So there's a lot to clean up. There's not a whole lot of seniors on that Corinth team. Pretty young group.
Yeah.
And they're kind of licking their wounds through this division slate, because it don't get any easier, because they get Itawamba this week.
Ooh, so. Yeah. Have fun with that one. And then one more game to look back at real quick. Ripley at New Albany. We thought this would be a close game, probably a low-scoring game, especially given Ripley's penchant for playing strong defense. And Ripley got the win in a low-scoring, close game, 10-7. You know, the lone touchdown was from Emmanuel Griffin, who was one of the best running backs in the area and just keeps having great games week in and week out. And you know, the other night he had 181 yards, I think it was, and he had, like I said, the lone touchdown, which was the difference in the game.
I think it was like an 80-yard touchdown too, I believe.
Yeah, I think it.
So it was just like, you know.
I've got Michael Harrison's stats right here. He's nice enough to email them to us. He had an 80-yard touchdown he had in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And he had 181 yards on the game on 18 carries. Yeah. So that's a huge win for Ripley. I mean, this is a team that we've talked about before is looking like it's making a turnaround under Perry Lyles.
6-1 now, right?
That sounds right to me. Yeah,
6-1, 2-0 in division.
Yeah.
That defense is for real. I think we can say that now after holding New Albany.
Yeah, I think so. Because New Albany's offense is no slouch.
Yeah. So it's a season low for New Albany offensively. And Ripley just did a phenomenal job there. So
yeah, now New Albany's in a little bit of trouble, 0-2 in division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
they've got to beat North Pontotoc this week.
If you'd told me that before the season, I wouldn't have believed you. So.
Yeah. By the way, Thursday night, the night before, I had that North Pontotoc-Houston game. That was wild.
Yeah.
Houston led 30-12. North Pontotoc won 38-37. Reese Kintner had six touchdowns total running and throwing. So that was an entertaining game right there. So, yeah, that division looks just pretty wide open, although Ripley is kind of
– I had Pontotoc-South Pontotoc the same night on the night before Thursday night, and it was 24-21.
True.
And South had the ball driving to win it, so – So that whole division, any given night, you just never know.
Yeah, Ripley looks like it's trying to take control of the division, but got a long way to go. Okay, let's look ahead to some of this week's big games. Tupelo said we were going to talk about it. They got to go to Madison Central, one of three long road trips for the Wave over the last 4 weeks. They also have to go to Germantown and Clinton to close out the regular season. They do get one more home game next week against Murray. But first up is Madison Central. Tupelo, 1-2 in division, needs a win in this game, and they need it badly. Madison Central, 5-1 overall, 2-1 in division. They got a quarterback, Vic Sutton, can do damage with his feet and with his arm. He's thrown 80 passes, no picks, 8 touchdowns. He's run for a couple hundred yards, got Robert Dumas, running back who's rushed for 675 yards, and the tight end, what was his name?
Blake Gunter.
Yeah, the Tulane commit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they got plenty of weapons, much like Starkville did. In fact, we talked about it on the football video show, preview show today, that a lot of similarities between Madison Central and Starkville as far as the weapons they have across the field in different positions.
Madison Central is just a little older in those spots.
Yes, exactly.
that's what makes Starkville such this like phenomenon, is just that they're doing it all while being this huge mm-hmm. sophomore class. And Madison Central, there is a lot of similarities, but these guys are a bunch of juniors and seniors out there doing it. And so if you're Tupelo, you just kind of hope that you can put on a little – I mean, you're in these games. You only lost by touchdown, gave up late to Starkville. You're in these games. You're right there neck and neck. It's just about, you know, just getting – just a couple inches better each day when you're out there at practice and stuff, so that when you get to these games that you can have an edge. But it's going to be tough going down to Madison. Anytime you're on the road, and that's a long trip. So, you know.
Yes.
It's hard to get 16- and 17-year-olds geared up for those long trips and stuff like that. But that's what this division is. It's a bunch of long trips and a bunch of tough teams. So.
Well, I said it before. I'll say it again. I think Tupelo did play better last week than they did the week before against Oxford, when they could not tackle for nothing and just – played uninspired football. They played really overall pretty well last week. I mean, consider the opposition had a lot to do with whatever wasn't working for Tupelo. I mean, Starkville's a very good football team, very well coached. Always room for improvement, and Tupelo's going to have to make some improvements, going to have to try to get that running game going a little bit better this week. Jeremiah Harrell, the quarterback, he's played well, but he was only 7 of 21 passing. That's really more – that's the most passes Tupelo has thrown all season, or certainly the most Jeremiah has thrown. And so they want to be a little more run-heavy if they're able to. But, I expect that'll be another close game, and Tupelo needs to pull that one out. We got Potts Camp at Baldwin in a Division I 2A game. Baldwin, our number one ranked small school, 6-1. They were on a roll. Potts Camp, 4-2, and having a pretty good year. And they lost to Belmont last week, gave up some points. And
their two losses are pretty quality. I mean, they lost to Eupora and Belmont.
So, right.
They're
solid teams.
Yeah, they're certainly improved from what you expect from Potts Camp football in years past. I'll be here for this one on Friday. I think the biggest deal for this is just Baldwin has been playing so well ever since week two. They lost 2-0 to Boonville in that crazy Skunk Bowl game. But since then, man, they've just been reeling it off. Beat, I believe, East Webster in overtime. They've just been stacking wins on top of wins. They've got wins against a good Kasu team, all these things. And so they're battle-tested. Potts Camp's tested themselves this year more than maybe they have so in the past. So it should be not a shock for either team on both sides. Both of them is going to be pretty good, but man.
Baldwin, that offense, Jamari Marshall at quarterback.
Yeah.
First time to start. He's thrown 119 passes, only one interception with 12 touchdowns, almost 1,200 yards. Haston Nelson is having a huge year at receiver, 769 yards and 9 touchdowns in just, 7 games? I mean, and then on the other side of the ball, Rodney Stewart, huge numbers, 51 tackles, 21 for loss, 7 sacks. Potts Camp is going to have its hands full.
Yeah, they are, especially with Stewart. My Lord, those types of numbers that are on the defensive line. If you're a defense and you're not having to blitz too much because you've got one defensive tackle or defensive end that's causing that much havoc in the backfield and getting pressure, you can just drop in coverage. And so, you know, Potts Camp's playing a new quarterback this year, Peyton Aldridge. They moved Josh Blake, their 3-year starter at quarterback. Now he's moved into a running back, wide receiver role. They'll play him at quarterback some if it's needed. But, you know, they try to get him the ball in space a little bit more. And so if you're Peyton Aldridge now, this first-year quarterback with this defense, and you got to deal with Stewart in your face, and then Baldwin's going to be dropping guys in coverage a lot. So it's going to be a tough challenge, but we'll see how it plays out.
And one more game to look at, Water Valley at Kossuth. And this game has been moved up to Thursday because of weather concerns. We are supposed to have some scattered thunderstorms Friday. That's also forced the Houston-Pontotoc game to move to Thursday. Water Valley at Kossuth. Thursday night should be a good one. This is a Division I 3A game, and Kossuth is off to a pretty good start this year. 5-2 overall, 2-0 in division. Water Valley 4-2, 1-0 in division. So this will be kind of for the division lead, basically. And the winner of this game could very well end up winning the division. But Kossuth is played so much better defensively, for one thing, than they did last year. I can't remember. I don't have it in front of me, but they gave up a lot of points last year, a lot. This year, they've given up 10.4 a game. I mean, total turnaround on defense. And they got a lot of guys back there doing some good things, and the offense is just running the ball with different people. Of course, Jack Johnson, the quarterback, can run it really well. Mm-hmm. And you've got guys like Brady Kelly, who I believe is leading the team in rushing this year. And then you've got Reese Crum and a couple other guys. Yeah, Kelly has 545 yards and four touchdowns. Water Valley can run it too, though. They had 441 yards last week in that big win over Mantachie. And so, you know, they're coached by Brad Embry, who led them to a state title 2-3 years ago. They've got a quarterback who can run it as well, just like Jack Johnson can. Jaden Morgan is kind of their lead back, 532 yards. So this should be a game with very, very few passes thrown.
Yeah.
Should, as you said on the football preview show, it's going to go pretty – should go pretty quickly.
Yeah, they're growing the ball.
So. Yeah, yeah. Should be a good game. Good close game, I would think. Okay, let's talk volleyball because the playoffs began on Tuesday. How about that? And me and Dylan both got out there to cover some volleyballage on Tuesday night. I got to see Pontotoc hosting Greenwood, and Pontotoc rolled past the Bulldogs 3-0. As you would expect, I mean, and just, you know, you could tell pretty early on that Pontotoc was the superior team. But they won the first set, I mean, pretty easily, but they made a lot of hitting and serving errors. But second and third set, they cleaned that stuff up pretty well and dominated. I think the scores of the last two sets were like 25-5 and 25-6, something like that. And yeah, and they got contributions from all over. This is a well-rounded team. They don't have a Deja Browner like last year, someone who can just go up to the net and just dominate the opposition. But they've got several girls who can get it done at the net, and they're very good at moving the ball around and getting it back over and not letting it drop. And so Scout Waldrop would be one example, and she had 7 assists and had 13 aces. I mean, there was one stretch in the first set where she had 5 aces out of her 6 out of 6 serves. And there were a couple of stretches like that where Greenwood just had trouble handling the serve. And so Scout had a big match. And, you know, Caroline Howard, setter or the libero, I guess is what she is. She also had a big match. You had Audrey Hamill. You had Sadie Stegall. You had, I mean, just
pretty much. They have Samaya Brooks.
Brooks.
Right, I mean,
she had 9 kills. The team, they had 39 as a team. I believe they had 25 aces as a team. So, you know, this is a team. This is a squad that went all the way to the 4A finals last year before losing. So they're wanting to get back. You know, they've had some ups and downs this year. They haven't, and when they win, it hasn't always been easy. I think back to that New Albany match I covered, where actually they lost that one. But they went up 2-0 and then lost 3-2.
Well, they lost their division opener to Caledonia. They were up 2 sets on Caledonia and then lost the 3. And they ended up fighting back later on in the year, beating Caledonia to win the division title.
Yeah, because they had to win that last one against Caledonia, I think, in 3 or 4 sets. Yeah, and they lost the first set but came back and won.
Right. So they hadn't made things easy on themselves, but they're still a really talented volleyball club. And
And there's no clear favorite in 4A in North, so they certainly have a shot.
I'm expecting Van Cleve in the South just because they're always the ones from down there that come down. I think they've won like 5 or 6 in a row or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? But, yeah.
All right, Walnut taking on East Webster. You were there, Dylan, and Walnut with the sweep.
We almost had like very similar matches last night with that because Walnut, same thing as Pontotoc, struggled first set. Able to, you know, eke out that first set win there. I think they beat them 25-21 there in the first set. And then from there, it was just complete rout of East Webster there, who's in their second year as a program. They're working on improving that. But, Walnut finished, I think, 25-8 and 25-6 on the second and third set. So they just kind of handled their business in those last two sets and kind of showed who was the better team. And this is, you know, defending 2A state champs. They're, like you said, they're working to get back, just like Pontotoc is.
Yeah.
Get back to that. And they've got a good shot. They, you know, even just like you said with Scout Waldrop and with Maddie Kate Von Cannon, did the same thing for them. They had a 10-0 run there to end the second set. And the third set, Von Cannon had 7 of her 8 aces in that third set and a 15-0 run to close that third set. So it was like eerie similar how we were in two different places and like those things happened. But in the first round playoff matchup like this,
you
get a lot of sweeps, you get a lot of overmatched stuff, and starting, you know, tomorrow night and Thursday and on, you're going to start seeing some more competitive stuff. So
yeah, certainly. And we got some pretty good matches Thursday in the second round. We got Amory at Kossuth. I plan to be at that one. Dylan, I'm going to send him to Hickory Flat at Biggersville. Of course, Hickory Flat has Emma Wilson, one of the better players in the area. Got to Oxford at Germantown in 6A. Oxford has been pretty much just about untouchable this year. I don't know anything about Germantown, but I imagine Oxford will be able to take care of business. I would just be shocked if they don't reach the state finals. Now, I know you still got DeSoto Central. Mm-hmm. You got to get through the defending state champs, but
they've beat them already this year.
Yeah, and Oxford has just been, like I said, completely dominant this season. Okay, let's do a shout-out this week. It goes to the Calhoun City football team. Hey, they got off the schneid. They got a win. They started 0-6. Two of those were forfeit losses because of COVID, but it was weird seeing them 0-6. And finally, last week, they got a big win over Yapora. I think it was 30-6 was the final.
That's
You know, not surprised they bounced back. You knew they would eventually, and you know, maybe can springboard this into a strong finish.
This is the team you got to watch out for right now. Like they just, it's 1-6, whatever. No, like don't. You need to if you're on the schedule, you need to circle it as they are still Calhoun City. Did they have some struggles to start the season? Yeah, but this group they've got, they're really good in the trenches. Jackson Lee's at quarterback's really mobile. They're having to figure things out, and if you look at what they did to Yapora, which we said a while ago is a really good football team, the way they basically held Yapora down offensively, and Yapora can run the ball, and they didn't have much success against Calhoun City last week, and Calhoun City in return just ran all over Yapora. I think Jackson Lee had close to like 130, 140 rushing yards and two touchdowns. Mm. So they're not maybe as balanced as they were last year with him throwing and running, but they're finding something on the ground game with his legs, and I think that's going to pay big dividends down this stretch run here.
All right, let's close it out with Athletes of the Week and your male Athlete of the Week. We talked about him earlier, Jacob Scott, the wide receiver from Orville, in that win over Corinth, had 16 catches for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's a good night at the office for Mr. Scott. Female Athlete of the Week, Audrey Hamill of Pontotoc. I mentioned earlier she played well in that win over Greenwood on Tuesday night. She had 20 assists, 10 digs, and 6 kills for Pontotoc. She just did a little bit of everything. Yep. She's that kind of player. So.
She's good.
All right, that's all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all for tuning in. We come to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Dylan's on there at DylanBarnesDJ. I'm on there at Brad Locke. We'll see y'all next time.